My guys in the desert on a Masters Thursday. Matt Youmans with Wes Reynolds here at the South Point Sportsbook. And Wes, it's great to have the year's first major in action. Been nonstop action since early this morning. I was up at 5 a.m. Pacific time when the first players teed off, and really have not stopped watching the tournament since. I just wish we could watch more of it on ESPN instead of trying to hunt around for coverage that's hard to find.
Yeah, it certainly is. And obviously, they don't do the wall-to-wall coverage like the Open Championship or the U.S. Open or the other majors, but at least we've got it on for now. And conditions playing a lot harder than they did last year. Remember where there were about 24 players under par in the first round. Very soft conditions last year at Augusta National. Every bit firm and fast today, so I believe at last check only 10 players under par at the moment.
Yeah, this is not the November conditions that these guys took advantage of at Augusta when Dustin Johnson shot a tournament record 20 under par. DJ right now, I believe, is 2 over. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe he took a double on 18. And look, he hadn't been in the cracking form that really he was last year. It's like, well, it made sense. All these guys played well, but he was playing like every bit the number one player in the world. But you talked about last year's record, shooting 20 under par, 268. A lot of records last year. 71.4 was the lowest first round average. 50.5% under par rounds overall. That was a Masters record. Field was averaging about 68% in greens and regulation. Not so much today. As we look at the leaderboard, I believe actually we now have 8 players under par at the moment. So looking to see what the cut is going to be. Obviously, that'll be more of a topic of discussion tomorrow. Top 50 in ties are who would be on the cut number right now. So 2 over would be in as of the moment. Obviously, we have a full round to play, but a lot of big numbers out there today for some big names.
In fact, two guys sitting at 2 over right now, barely on the right side of that cut line, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth.
Same thing with Tony Finau as well. Yeah, some big numbers today when you look down. Of course, the story being Rory McIlroy at 76 did hit his father, Jerry, with a wayward tee shot today. So was all over the place as we see Bryson DeChambeau 4 over through 10. Another big number that we've seen today of a guy that was one of the tournament favorites. So Patrick Cantlay also 3 over through 11 holes. Daniel Berger, a lot of people liked him this week. A lot of sharp guys I respect. He goes in with the 75. So big numbers out there today, but the leader is Justin Rose, 4 under through 13. I don't think a lot of people anticipated that coming, simply because just a few weeks ago he withdrew from Bay Hill, I believe in the third round with back spasms, didn't play in the Players' Championship, didn't play in the match play, but currently your leader at 4 under par.
Yeah, Justin Rose actually was 2 over par today. He got a lucky bounce onto the green on an approach shot that led to an eagle, and everything turned around for him at that point. So just the way we handicapped it the whole time. Brian Harman, Hideki Matsuyama, and Justin Rose tied for the lead at Augusta with Will Zalatoris and Christian Bezuidenhout. Is that pronounced correctly?
Close enough.
Okay.
Close enough, at least in the ballpark. But, yeah, also Webb Simpson and Patrick Reed in at 2 under. Zalatoris, by the way, was the low man in terms of the low debutant and 2 under par, first ever round at Augusta National. Very good round for Zalatoris. Siwoo Kim also got in at under par, shooting a 1 under 71. Those are the only 8 players under par here at Augusta.
Of those 8 players under par, I've got a futures ticket on only one, and that's Webb Simpson, who I bet at 45-1. Who do you have among that group of 8 players under par right now?
That is one more than I have, because my nearest guys are at even par, that being John Rahm. I know you have Xander Schauffele as well. We've got a host of players at even par. I also have Sungjae Im at even par. So basically, I think after today, being how these conditions have played, you want to be obviously as low as you can get, but I think anybody probably at 3 over or better, and then maybe include Rory McIlroy, because we know he can go low in the second round and somehow backdoors way into making the cut. But I think 3 over or better, you're at least in striking distance here, as Justin Rose saves a par here at 14. Now 4 under par, still your solo leader.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good par save by Justin Rose there. So it's very surprising to see him atop the leaderboard, but there always are surprises in the first round of a major. A name you don't expect pops up atop the leaderboard. right. Welcome to My Guys in the Desert on a Thursday from the South Point Sportsbook. Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds. And Wes, we have a star-studded cast of guests on today's show as we monitor the Masters, which is in progress in the first round. Tony Miller, the Golden Nugget Sportsbook Director, is going to join us soon. Also, Derek Stevens and Mike Palm from the Circus Sportsbook downtown Las Vegas, and Teddy Greenstein of PointsBet in the second hour. Teddy loves his golf betting as well. So it's going to be a lot of golf betting on today's show. Hopefully you like golf and like the betting talk about it. This is the biggest deal going this week. After the Final Four, our focus shifts completely toward the Masters. And fortunately, a lot of people we know, and we've had some great guests on our shows this week, including Scott Van Pelt on Long Shots. But everybody does get fired up to bet this tournament. This is the Super Bowl of golf betting.
Well, and I think largely because in terms of a betting perspective, it's up the longest in terms of the odds. Some books may have futures already for Open Championship, U.S. Open, PGA, but the Masters is usually up when it's usually in its calendar spot, as it is here in April. Usually you'll see a lot of books put those up in December or in January. So you've got 3-4 months to bet these. Whereas, okay, once we get done with Augusta National and the Masters on Sunday, we're now going to have about a month, maybe a little less than a month, to bet the PGA Championship because that's been moved up in the calendar. And then you have a month in between the PGA and the U.S. Open, and the same thing with the British Open. So because you have so much more time, I think that's why you have the biggest handle of the four majors with the Masters.
All right, Wes, you just can't help yourself. You and Chris Sabair, Felica, and a group of guys, you love to play Rory in about every Masters. Rory and Rahm, hey, you're right there in the hunt with Rahm. Rory is off to a poor start. Not only did he tag his dad with a wayward shot from the fairway, he finished 4 over 76 today. Now, this is a guy who can get back in it. This is from Justin Ray Golf on Twitter. He's been a Long Shots guest of ours. Rory is 4 over since 2015 in majors. McIlroy is a combined plus 32 in round one. He's 64 under in rounds 2 through 4, Wes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we saw that last year where he shot 75 and then shot, I believe, 15 under over the final 54 holes. That got him, I believe, into a tie for fifth that he just shot even par. He wouldn't have had enough for Dustin Johnson. Nobody was going to, even with Cam Smith shooting 4 rounds in the 60s, still was 5 strokes back, but would have been a lot better. And that's what you're kind of always worried about a little bit with Rory. He gets off to such a bad start, but he grinds and he finds a way. And I thought something that Scott Van Pelt said on Long Shots with us on Tuesday night was very pertinent. Rory, I think, it's almost like it's in his head of what DeChambeau is doing, and he's trying to just swing so hard. And he's one of the longest hitters on the tour. He gains strokes he gained off the tee. He's always in the top 2 or 3, really, on the tour. I don't think driving the ball is really his problem. His approach game has been a mess. We know the putter can kind of be hit or miss with Rory over the years, and I just think maybe that's getting to him, that he hasn't been able to win a major in 6 years. When you win 4 majors at age 25, only Woods and Nicklaus did that. Now all of a sudden the pressure is there. You've got that one left for the career Grand Slam, but just 31 years old. I don't think he's that far off, even though he shot poorly today, so I agree with SBP's assessment, but he's certainly getting off to too many bad starts in these majors and always having to chase.
Yeah, I don't think it's the DeChambeau factor. I think it's more about his erratic approach game and his putting just haven't been there.
Well,
and,
I mean,
and
that,
also
that adds to it.
It gets into your head when you've gone a long time without winning a major, and like you talked about, this guy hadn't won a major since what, 2014?
Yeah, when he was 25, he had 4 major championships, and that's where he is still at. So look, it does kind of weigh on you a little bit when you've been trying so long and you're just one major away from history. Very few have won the Grand Slam, and still attempting, and now behind the eight ball here early yet again.
I always say you can't win a major in the first round, but you can lose it. So you talk about the players who have put themselves on the brink of losing this major in round one. You don't want to overreact, but all the guys of 4 over par or worse are in serious jeopardy of missing the cut and losing this major. That includes a group of players: Matthew Wolff, Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy, Billy Horschel, Tommy Fleetwood, Bryson DeChambeau, Cameron Smith, Jason Day, Patrick Cantlay, Lee Westwood. And
a lot of people liked Lee Westwood, too, because of how he played on the Florida swing. Matt Kuchar, another guy that's been playing decent the last couple weeks, he is 6 over par through 13.
All right. So those are the guys who are on the brink of losing this thing. Justin Rose, how high did you see his odds this week in Las Vegas? Because I saw Rose around 150 or maybe even higher.
Yeah,
at
that
Sports.
Was about the range that I saw at Circa Sports. I think when I did my Masters A to Z column, which you can still read at vsin.com as part of our Masters betting guide, I think he was 135-1 when I sent that in. And 125-150 seems about right. And now he is the leader of the Masters by one over Matsuyama and Brian Harman.
Wes, I was over at the Circa Book late last night around midnight putting in some last-minute bets, and Justin Rose was 124-1 at that point on the board. But I did see him higher throughout the week, and that's a guy who, you talk about course form, Justin Rose fit the description. Mm-hmm. Current form, not at all. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And now he's on the other side of 40 now. He had just turned 40 last year. So it's kind of like he's in that kind of golf career midlife crisis at this point. What player is he going to be? Does he still have good golf left, at least for the first 14 holes today? The answer is yes.
All right, let's welcome in Tony Miller, Golden Nugget Sportsbook Director. He's the main man downtown, and he is also in our Masters Golf League. And his first pick was Dustin Johnson, so we're going to see how he feels about that as we're about halfway through the first round today. Tony, welcome in, man. Have you been watching the Masters since early this morning?
Yeah, buddy. I got up early, watched it on Masters.com, then I just switched over to ESPN and watched it there, and can't take my eyes off of it.
How do you feel about DJ's start today? And obviously not what you want. Not what DJ wanted, and he was the guy who went 20 under par with the tournament record in November. He's two over with a 74 in the clubhouse today, Tony. But he's not out of it, but that's not what you wanted to see.
No, I like to see him under par, Matt, for sure. But you know what? It's been a tough course day for a lot of the guys so far. And, you know, I think he'll be there at the end, hopefully. But, you know, he'll bounce back, I think, and get back, you know, back on track tomorrow.
Tony, who was seeing the action at your store down at the Golden Nugget in terms of, look, guys that you want to dodge a little bit, maybe you've got some extra exposure in terms of money or tickets? Who were the guys that they were hitting downtown at your store?
You know, my big losses came in on Morikawa. They bet him all the way down to 10-1 with me here at the Nugget. And Jordan Spieth, of course, who's been the hot golfer lately, they bet him down to 9-1. So those are the two big bombs for me. And but, you know, all in all, the outrights were pretty good. There's a lot of winners, a few small losers, but those are the two big ones that I get beat up on.
All right, Tony, you talked about Jordan Spieth. I think he's one over through 10 right now. How high did his odds drift at your spot before he started to get bet in February, early February, when he showed signs of rediscovering his game? Did you get as high as 60-1 like some books around town?
Yeah, we were 61. We took a few thousand on there at 61, dropped into 40, came all the way down to 30, 16, 12, and then he closed up at 9. So they bet him pretty good the whole time.
Yeah, we were talking about this ticket that was put up on Twitter. This is Bill Krakenberger, and he put a bet in at Circa Sports downtown, right next door to Tony, on Jordan Spieth at plus 1375, almost 14-1. And I'm not going to say this is Bill's bet individually because he works with a group of guys, and it's probably not all of his 10,000, but it's 10,000 to win 137,000. 500 on Jordan Spieth. And one thing that you can see a copy of that ticket at Bill Crackman. We have it on the screen up there right now. One thing that strikes me about that bet is Crackman and his group are typically pretty sharp and ahead of the curve. And I'm not sure I would brag about betting Jordan Spieth at about 13-1.
Well, I mean, maybe that group of individuals are not following this golf like we do on a week-to-week basis, but I kind of said it when I saw Jordan Spieth at single digits or 10-1 really around town. I think if you're betting him at this point, yeah, he could win, but it's almost like you're late to the party and they're taking down the decorations at this standpoint when you could have got him at 60, 50, 40-1. A lot of books were aggressive in terms of moving him downwards, but I know some guys around town, Tony just talked about it, guys at William Hill, the guys down at the Wynn, they are absolutely hammered on Spieth money.
Well, here at the South Point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, when he won last week at when he won last week at Texas, that sealed it for me. You could see the money coming in right away on Monday when we put up, you know, put some Masters things up, including matchups. Spieth's the hot golfer, man, and the public play. golfers. And when he won last week in Texas, that sealed the deal. It kept coming in.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth, VSiN, Vinny Maiulo talked about it on the show yesterday, down to 7-1 here at the South Point. So much betting. Tony, did you say you closed Spieth at 7 or 8-1? What was it?
No, we closed at 9.
9-1. 9-1 on Spieth.
Yeah.
Did you see much action on Brooks Koepka? Because this is a guy that golf handicappers, including Indy Jeff Seeley, who's a huge Koepka fan. I think he's the president of the Brooks Koepka fan club. He couldn't resist betting on Koepka despite the situation with his knees this week, and his odds drifted up around 45-1. Mostly you saw 25-1. Did you get much play on Brooks Koepka this week when it was determined that he was going to tee it up?
We closed him at 30-1. We got some late play on Koepka. People were waiting to see what's going on with his knee and whatnot. But money came in a little bit late on him. But we still do very well on Koepka. But we did close him at 30-1 with late money.
Tony, in terms of obviously the high-end players, Rory McIlroy, I know it drifted up a little bit this week. He's usually top five on the odds board. This time, not a precipitous drop. He was number 6, I think, consensus on the odds board. Did you still see some believers in McIlroy, or some people at this point like, okay, I've been let down. He's gotten off to bad starts in these majors in round one and then has to chase and come back, and he's done it enough, and here we go again. He's done it again today, 4 over par on his first round.
Yeah, he always seems to get off to a rough start, and he closed here at the Nugget at 18-1. But he is one of my higher ticket count golfers in the tournament, so we lose a little bit to him. We close him out at 18-1. He got some play early, but again, he's off to a rough start, and he needs to come back in the next 3 days. And it just doesn't look good right now the way he was driving today.
Tony Miller, Golden Nugget Sportsbook Director, downtown Las Vegas. Follow him on Twitter at GollumLV. Tony, what's it like for you as a book director when you're in a circus sandwich? You're right downtown there where Circa puts up probably the best golf futures book in the world, and it probably makes it a little tougher for you to draw action sometimes on events like this. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate, Matt. Of course, they're shoppers and guys that like to shop numbers, and it's tough to compete when Circa's throwing up some good numbers like that. But you know what? They bring down a lot of people, and we get a lot of people that walk in, and not just the Masters, but they bet other things. And Circa's been great for us. They bring us business. They got a lot of people coming in over there, and people like to walk around and see, especially across the street. We're so close to each other. But of course, they're going to hurt us with their odds and whatnot, but we get a lot of overflow, buddy. Trust me.
Yeah, it's attracting a lot of people downtown Las Vegas. That's sure, for sure, to go down to the Circus Sportsbook. Tony Miller of the Golden Nugget with us. What's your wagering handle like on this Masters? Typically, Tony, you got almost a year to bet this event. Now it's 5 months. Have you noticed a big difference in the wagering handle?
Oh, yeah, buddy. People are I've never seen the Masters light up like it has in the last 3 weeks. I've been in the business a long time, Matt, but this is, if we could have had a few more months on this, it would have been broken all records. But it's been great, and it's all over the place. They're not just betting certain golfers a lot more than the others. It's all over with all 88 golfers, and it's been good. And I think it's going to be good with all four majors, and I can't wait for the next three.
Tony, got about a minute and a half here. I know that you guys announced, you and Aaron Kessler and the crew down there at the Golden Nugget, announced that the Golden Nugget Football Challenge is back, college and pro. I know you weren't able to do it last year, but it is back. Tell us a little bit about it, and when can they start signing up?
Yeah, in fact, we're putting the final details to it right now, Wes. We're going to make an announcement next week of the date you can do starting sign-ups. The other good thing this year, we're going to have it on the mobile app, so you do not do your picks every week straight from your phone. It's going to be good. Same thing, no changes. Still $1,000 entry. College and pro is the only contest in town where you can do either college or NFL games and 7 picks a week. And we can't wait. We're going to put that up here in the next month, along with the college football games of the year, which is finishing up. We've got 100 college games coming out, key games of the year for this upcoming season that we're going to also put out next month.
All right, count me in. I'm back in the contest since you're back in this season, Tony, because that's one thing I wish more books would embrace is college football. And you and I talked about this about 5 years ago, if not longer, that there are people out there who want a college football contest, but a lot of sports books don't recognize that. But you did, Tony.
Yeah, it you know, a lot of guys like college football. Yeah. NFL's not easy to pick, you know, the five games every week. And, you know, well, I shouldn't say it's not easy. A lot of guys do well. But, you know, when you mix in college football, a lot of guys are, you know, they study that stuff. And, you know, we get a lot of guys that come in and want to put up college football. And they could throw in an NFL game or two to put in their seven picks. And, you know, having the choice of both is really good. And we put every college game on the contest. We don't leave any out. So you got all your choices.
All right, that's good news. And Tony, good luck this weekend in the Masters to your team and our league. You're going to need some luck because you're not off to a good start.
No, I'm not happy with my seven guys right now. And
I think they're ahead of Brady
and
I.
Thanks for reminding me, buddy.
All right, that's Tony Miller of the Golden Nugget Sportsbook downtown. We'll come back in a couple minutes here on My Guys in the Desert. And Wes, we got a lot to talk about today aside from the Masters. We'll do some college hoops. Sean Miller is out at Arizona. That's big news in the past 24 hours. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
All right. It's great to catch up with Tony Miller of the Golden Nugget Sportsbook in the first segment today. And you and I, Wes, are planning on getting in his football contest in the fall that combines the NFL and college. It's the only contest in town where you can handicap among your seven picks a week. I think the rules are going to be the same.
Yeah.
You can make a combination of NFL and college picks because most contests in town, almost all contests, are all NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get college football involved in these contests, and that's why the one that Tony started at the Nugget about 5 years ago that has college football, I think is so valuable because you just can't find one like it anywhere else in town.
Yeah, I think it's arguably as good a value as you're going to get if you're a contest player because you can play both college and pro. Now, you will have some guys that'll just play seven selections every week of college, mm-hmm. and then you'll have some that mix and match, and then you'll have some guys maybe play five or six pro and then one college game. So it gives you that interesting strategy because now you have games basically Thursday through Monday. So you got to play a little strategy here. And I think they tried to take away a little bit of that stale line advantage player to really make it more of a handicapping contest.
Yes.
Instead of necessarily, okay, a total is at 63, and now the total is at 68.5 because some group or somebody hit it, so I'm going to bet the over 63. Because you want to really get into the meat and potatoes of breaking down the games and actually handicapping the games. Nothing wrong with being an advantage player at all, but that does make the contest a little bit more boring, I think.
Oh, of course, especially when you have so many guys just playing a total because it's a stale number and mm-hmm. it's off by 4 points and
yeah.
everybody plays it automatically. That's not a handicapping contest. Anyway, let's get to college. There's been a lot of major job openings in the sport this offseason. Texas, North Carolina, Indiana, Marquette, Oklahoma. You also had Tim Miles taking the San Jose State job. You had Richard Pitino going to New Mexico. What'd I miss? What did I leave
yeah,
out?
Yeah, there have been a bunch of different ones open. Of course, you mentioned Texas. Texas Tech, also Mark Adams, gets moved one seat over yep. to take over Chris Beard's spot. But one of the biggies, I think it's one of the top 10 jobs in America, is Arizona, who has finally opened up at maybe 4 years after the fact
uh-huh.
when this investigation was done. So that's why I tweeted out, I don't think Sean Miller got booted here in Tucson because of necessarily there's some violations, unless there's something we don't know about. He got got booted because he's not winning enough. And Arizona's got expectations out there, and you can see it here on the graphic. Last 3 years, 61.1%. First nine seasons, just a little under 77%. And I think, look, seeing what UCLA did, getting to the Final Four, all these other Pac-12 teams that had very good runs in the NCAA tournament, Oregon State in the Elite Eight, Oregon in the Sweet 16, USC in the Elite Eight. Arizona, to me, I know they don't have the most championships, but when the Pac-12 tournament comes here to T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, they by far bring the biggest crowd here. They, I think, are the biggest fan base for basketball in the Pac-12, and they want somebody better, so we'll see what candidates they go with. I would think at a place like Arizona, you can maybe go grab somebody else's coach. You can't really do that at a lot of places, but we'll see where Arizona elects to go here.
You talked about it. It's right there on the graphic. Sean Miller, first nine seasons, won 77% of his games. In the conference, about 75%. Now, since the recruiting controversy of the past 3 or 4 years, those numbers have dipped dramatically. Conference winning percentage down to about 52%. And that's the main reason he's out. Also, if you're going to give a guy in the eye of a storm like this a contract extension, you better be sure what you're getting, mm-hmm. right? So you kind of pause, do we really want to give Sean Miller a contract extension, or we just let him go with a year left on his deal?
Right.
You got to let him go.
So both the Miller brothers got a year of salary
Archie
coming
Miller
to them.
Archie Miller and Sean Miller both looking for work. How about Pittsburgh?
Could be if they elect to get rid of Jeff Capel. Of course, Sean Miller did play there at Pittsburgh.
Yes, he did.
So that could be a landing spot. It'll be interesting to see where Arizona goes here, because the buzz name you're hearing is Gonzaga assistant Tommy Lloyd. It would seem he would be the designate or the head coach designate if Mark Few elects to retire. So Tommy Lloyd, I know Luke Walton has said he's not interested in the job because he's a former Arizona player, host of Arizona Players.
No, here's a quote. Courtesy of the Sacramento Kings beat writer who covers this team, said from Luke Walton, no interest. I love Arizona. I think Sean Miller did an amazing job. I have a job I love. I have a group I love working with, blah, blah, blah. I'm very committed to being here in Sacramento. Is Sacramento committed to Luke Walton? Because he's one of the worst head coaches in the NBA, and I'm not sure that he's going to be with the Kings for long. But if it's not, could be Damon
Stoudemire, Josh Pastner, Miles Simon, a lot of Arizona players
and
coaching.
Perry,
yes.
Right? There's a lot of names in play for that Arizona job, which is one of the best in college hoops. We'll talk baseball when we come back.
Sports betting action this spring doesn't get much better than this week. Our VSiN experts are covering the Masters, early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races, and every game on the schedule to give you the betting edge. We give you all the tools to cash more tickets, including our 24/7 video coverage, complete data and analysis on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every sport in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action is warming up this spring, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
All right, let's look at baseball that's in the book and is completed so far. The Cubs and the Pirates. And the Cubs defeat the Pirates 4-2 today. Javi Baez hit a go-ahead two-run homer in the sixth inning, and the Cubs busted out of an offensive slump, I guess. They had 11 hits today. Wes, the Cubs finished their homestand batting 124. And so they needed to feast on the Pirates' pitching today, and that's what they did with 11 hits. The Pirates dropped to 1-6. They have not won since opening day at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, and Jake Arrieta proving you can go home again, now 2-0, although this was on the road, but getting at least some good pitching to make up for that lackluster offense. But these are the games you got to win over the Pirates. They did. Bryant went yard today. Javi Baez with the two-run shot, also Anthony Rizzo. So all the runs coming via the long ball today for the Cubs. 4-2 winners over the Buccos.
Cubs closed minus 148 favorites here at the South Point, and obviously the game stayed under the total of 8.5. Dramatic win for the Mets today. Jeff McNeil tied the game with a homer in the bottom of the ninth. Mets win the game 3-2 over the Marlins, and the Marlins now also 1-6. They matched the Pirates' record of futility at the bottom of the National League. So good win for the Mets today, who were minus 180, total of 8.5, another game that stayed under.
Little bit of controversy at the end here. Anthony Bass apparently hit Michael Conforto to bring in the winning run after McNeil had tied it at 2 in the bottom of the ninth, and it was a disputed call, but it goes the Mets' way, 3-2. Marlins have had a couple heartbreaking losses this year, a couple one-run losses, a couple blown saves. Anthony Bass now has blown 2 saves, so we'll see if he's going to stay in that closer role down there in Miami. But Mets get the 3-2 win. Under the total, Mets get there as 180 favorites.
All right. I decided before the baseball season, Wes, that every time Matt Harvey started, I was going to bet against him. And Matt Harvey is in the Orioles rotation. He was not terrible today, but he is trailing. Baltimore trailing 6-4 at the end of 7 innings. In Boston today, Matt Harvey went 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned runs. He did walk 1 and strike out 5, so it was actually a pretty positive performance. He gave up 1 homer, and that was to Rafael Devers in the first inning. That was a 2-run shot, so he got off to a rough start. But Harvey regrouped. Still, the Orioles look like they're going down here. The Red Sox close minus 150. This game's in Baltimore. Red Sox minus 150 at 6-3. The total was 9, so it's not over yet.
The Bo Sox got swept, actually, in Fenway on opening weekend by Baltimore. And then what does Boston do? They respond with the 3-game sweep over the Rays. So 6-3 right now. Rodriguez and Harvey were the two pitchers. Rafael Devers touched up Matt Harvey for a 2-run shot in the first. Red Sox now coming up at the top of the eighth with a 6-3 lead. Total closed at 9 most places around town.
Okay, so yesterday we were talking about money showing up on Mad Bum of the D-backs against the Rockies at Coors Field, and Vinny and I just couldn't really figure out why there was sharp money showing up on Mad Bum, and I still can't figure it out because last night Mad Bum and the D-backs got roughed up by the Rockies at Coors Field, and it's more of the same today, Wes. It's Rockies 7-1, middle of the eighth.
Yeah, Trevor Story here with 3 runs batted in, a double and a triple so far today. He has been the main star of the offense for the Rockies. 7-1, John Gray did get some support. I think he's probably the most consistent pitcher, by the way. As Justin Rose birdies 16, he is now 6 under par, 3 clear of the field here at Augusta National.
All right, the Royals and the White Sox scoreless, but there's a rain delay. I'm not even sure that game started yet. It's top of the first inning, rain delay. Twins and Mariners, 4-1. Twins in the bottom of the fourth. And let's see, what else do we have in action right now? We got a couple other games going
on. We do have Milwaukee and St. Louis, bottom of the fourth. Burns against Wainwright. 1-0 here, bottom of the fourth. This did take some money to the under. It opened 8, went down to 7 with juice to the over, or 7.5 with juice to the under. As usually, that's what you will get on odd number totals. 7 and 9, very much key numbers on MLB totals.
All right, a couple games to handicap tonight in baseball, except almost the entire board is complete or in progress. We got a couple games still to go. Angels and Blue Jays. And this game's being played in Dunedin, Florida. Mm-hmm. And it's that's at the Blue Jays spring training complex. So that's going to be their home site for, what, a first month or 2 months?
Yes.
And it's Griffin Canning against Ross Stripling. And the Angels off to a pretty good start, 4-2 so far this season. And how do you think it impacts the Blue Jays to be playing home games at their spring training site, if anything? Does it impact the number at all? Here we see Blue Jays minus 110, and the total is 10 in this game today.
It remains to be determined. Blue Jays did play in Buffalo last year and actually went 17-9 at home, so they were able to get used to that. But it's going to remain to be seen here how they fare here. Ross Stripling going to get the start in the opener. Basically, Blue Jays have taken, I guess, a little bit of a trickle of money. It opened 104, 105. Now you're seeing it about 110, at least on market average. So Angels trying to get going on the road. A successful home stand at home against the White Sox and the Astros. Did go 4-2 to start. Griffin Cannon against Ross Stripling. No play for me in this one.
Okay, one more game tonight, and it is the Oakland A's, Houston Astros. And the Astros swept 4 in Oakland to open the season. Cole Irvin goes for the A's tonight against Christian Javier, and Houston minus 155 or so. And also a game with a total of 10.
Yeah, you wonder if maybe getting out of Oakland might be a good thing for the A's here, being that they started 1-6. But they are going with Christian Javier, who looks like he might be a regression candidate this season. 3.48 ERA, 4.86 xFIP. Kind of got lucky with the fielding behind him here. So I think the price is a little high, even though I do want to go against Javier. Would be A's or nothing for me.
All right, Wes, you're a true pro. Your chair collapsed in the middle of the sentence.
And, but I didn't fall down like somebody else did here at VSiN one time.
Didn't even interrupt your sentence. That was well done there. That was a very athletic move by you not to fall on the floor.
The highest degree of professionalism here, Matt. Only the best for you.
We've had a couple hosts here actually fall out of the chair in mid-sentence, haven't we?
I believe we have.
I can think of two who actually did it. All right, Justin Rose at 6-under. He's on fire right now, leading the Masters. We'll come back, talk a little bit about that. And the NBA tonight, there was a really good game last night between the Jazz and the Suns in the association. Those two teams are in action again tonight, and we'll update the Masters next.
And I'm Danielle Avari. We are live from the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
All right, Wes, a couple days ago we taped Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show, and you and Brady Cannon showed up in green jackets.
We did.
And
You've got the green shirt.
Well, I had people asking me, where's your green jacket? I don't have one. Who has green clothes? So I did. I looked through my closet and I found a green shirt. So I wore that today in honor of the Masters. Where did you get your green jacket? Did you go to the men's warehouse and just say, hey, do you have a green jacket that looks like one you get at Augusta?
I did not. There was a certain website that sells like uniform type jackets for employees. And I saw a Augusta green blazer, $99. Best $99 I spend. So I went ahead and got that Augusta green blazer just to wear 1 week a year, Matt.
The best. I don't know if that's the best $99 you've ever spent. I want to dispute that.
We make the sacrifices here for VSiN, Matt. Sometimes you got to take one for the team, you know?
Okay, so we have a great team here at VSiN, by the way. Some of our producers are very sharp sports bettors. And John Brown and a group of producers combined to make this bet. Are you ready for this? This is at Circus Sports. Will Justin Rose win the Masters? Yes. 129-1. They bet $45 on it to win $5,000+.
There was a
give our crew a round of golf claps.
Absolutely. There was a group of three. This was sent by VSiN production man extraordinaire John Brown to me by via text. And some of the guys, I think, also bet it individually. So, look, off to a very good start. Justin Rose now three clear, two holes left to play, 17 and 18. He, of course, is back. He was dealing with some injuries, but recall last year he split with Sean Foley, who he'd been with for about 11 years. Sean Foley, of course, has worked with a lot of players, including Tiger Woods. And Rose had been with him for so many years and just felt like he needed a change. But then they went back to each other. Rose also changed equipment last year. He was with that Japanese manufacturer, Hanma. Got out of that deal. I think he's got those old TaylorMades back in the bag or kind of a hodgepodge of sticks. But whatever he's got in there, it's working today. 6-under through 16, three shots ahead of Matsuyama and Brian Harman.
You think you could possibly go into more detail about Justin Rose's equipment and his coaches? And you know everything about the guy.
I didn't know enough to bet him.
If my coach were Sean Foley, who lives in a van down by the river, I think I would switch coaches too.
Well, they did win a major together, Matt. So
the same guy?
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, I guess.
Did you watch the Jazz-Suns game last night?
I did. I did have Phoenix and the points. And look, I tweeted it out because we always inevitably don't want that underdog in overtime because you got to cover the game twice to win the bet. So reminded me of the It's a Wonderful Life where the little girl at the end with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed says, teacher says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Well, teacher says, every time a dog covers in overtime, an angel gets its wings. So fortunately for me, the Phoenix Suns did just that.
What were you catching, two?
I was catching three.
Yeah, catching three last night with the Suns. It was two when we went off the air. Suns actually led by 10 at the half last night, but had to go to overtime to put away the Utah Jazz, 117 to 113. And there were 26 points scored in overtime in that game last night, I believe. Did that still stay under the total?
I think it might have just squeaked over, if memory serves me correctly.
That's why I was trying to double-check that, because I thought that was a bad beat last night, or at least it was headed in that direction in overtime, and the total closed 227. So you're right, it did squeak over at the end of overtime. 117-113, the Suns get the victory over the Jazz. Hey, those two teams are in action again tonight. So how do you handicap the back-to-backs here? Well, we'll start with the Suns, who won last night's game. They are six-point dogs in L.A. against the Clippers.
Yeah, you wonder, obviously, on the back-to-back. Sometimes that can get a little bit overpriced. But, look, this team has been as hot as anybody in the league, really, for the last 2 months. And maybe that game against Utah last night kind of forced people to really take notice of this team. The fact that they've won seven in a row, they've won 19 of the last 24. They're just 1.5 games back of the one seed. But you do got to face the Clippers the exact same night. Now you got to see if Kawhi and Paul George are going to both play at the same time. The Clippers, really, when you look at them on offense, they're still very much a jump shooting team. Mm-hmm. That's why they're kind of high variance, where you get them where it's like they look like they're the best team in the league, and then you get them and they look very pedestrian and they can lose at home like they did against the Bucks last week. So I just, you know, you don't really worry about them necessarily. They're going to be a championship contender, but you're worried about betting against them because they can get the jump shots to fall, and all of a sudden they've got 130, 140 points in a game. So, look, we shall see what is going on here. I may look at the total here, actually, and bet the under. I think on a back-to-back, you're going to have a little bit of sense of urgency. Now, it did open 224, now down to 221 in most places in the market. So under would be my lean here, but the Clippers certainly getting the action betting against the Suns off the back-to-back.
Yeah, if you're playing the under, you're not getting the best of the number at this point. Like you said, it's already dropped a few points.
That's why you can wait for in-game wagering. I don't think any sport out there really is more conducive to in-game wagering more than the NBA, because you have such a high volatility within the market. So if you miss a number, there's nothing wrong with a bet not made and passing for something else on the card or for another day. Or if you get your number that you want, you may be able to do that in play.
I mean, this number looks high, right? Clips laying six against the Suns.
Yeah.
Who are Suns are hot right now. They really are, but it's probably high for a reason.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of given me a little bit of pause. Clippers look like they're getting healthier, too. Of course, Rondo is in the fold in the rotation. They have Patrick Beverley back. Serge Ibaka going to miss another game with that back injury. So Clippers are probably about as healthy as they've been all season. Obviously, check the lineups. Make sure Kawhi and PG are both going to go. Looks like they are at this standpoint.
Well, when the Lakers get healthy, they're not going to coast through the West, that's for sure, because you got the Clippers, Suns, Jazz, Nuggets, Blazers. Mm-hmm. A lot of tough teams to deal with in the West.
Yeah, no question about it. So there's going to be some jockeying for position, but everybody was kind of looking forward to hopefully getting the Jazz and the Suns. I know our buddy Stanford Steve was saying, I would love to see these teams in the Western Conference Finals, but I think it probably is going to be a meeting before that, maybe the semifinals between Utah and Phoenix, who are the top two teams in the Western
NBA
Conference.
NBA playoffs are going to be really competitive. It's going to be entertaining, and it's not just the West. I think the East is going to be, because the Brooklyn Nets look like the team to beat, but the Nets can't get their three stars on the floor at the same time very often. Anyway, back to the West. Blazers and Jazz in Salt Lake City tonight. Utah, a six-point favorite off last night's loss, total at 233. Again, we got another back-to-back for a team that played in an overtime last night. How does that influence the way you handicap this game between Portland and Utah.
Yeah, and Portland, I believe, off their last game, it was Tuesday night, 133-116, a loser to the Clippers. That was an over from the get-go because I remember we talked about that on Tuesday's show. First quarter, Clippers 47-32 out on the Portland Trail Blazers. Almost 50 points in that quarter for the Clippers. So based on that, you obviously see the movement to the over here. Now 233 in most stores out there in the marketplace. So can't really disagree with that. Now, I don't like, especially on overs, maybe a little more so than unders, but on overs, I don't want to be that late to the party where it's already moved 3.5 points. So this would be one I would leave alone from the total standpoint.
All right, one more in the NBA before we get back to golf and wrap it up for this hour. One of the best teams in the East, the Milwaukee Bucks in Dallas tonight, and Mavericks 2-point favorites, total of 226.5 or 227 out there, but Dallas minus 2. What do you think of this matchup with the Bucks?
Yeah, no Giannis tonight. Again, it looks like it's doubtful, not ruled officially as out, but we did talk about that game against Golden State on Tuesday. I think they were 6.5, and then it closed 2.5 in the market when Giannis got announced out, so a 4-point drop.
Lost by 1.
Yes, they did. Golden State does get the win, a small home underdogs. Dallas right now in the 7th spot in the West. Milwaukee, of course, in the 3 spot behind Brooklyn and Philadelphia in that division. No, I'm not sure really what to do here. Minor injuries for the Mavericks in terms of their bench guys here, but for Milwaukee, P.J. Tucker, Greek Freak, also likely to be out tonight. So small lean, actually, a little bit to the under in this spot. 228 was the opener, now 227, 226.5, pretty much in the marketplace. That would be where I would go. They made up for the scoring for Giannis, and you often see that in the NBA. You got a star out, they make up for the scoring, not necessarily the defense. Then the next time out, they can't make up for the scoring, so it's more defensive-oriented.
All right, nice job there, Wes. How about Justin Rose? You've seen a shooter in a zone where he just can't miss. That's Justin Rose right now. He almost holed about a 200-yard iron shot. He missed it by a few inches. He's about to go 7-under at Augusta.
Amazing that of this performance. I mean, we know he's had good spots here before. He's been in the playoff here at Augusta National before. He is a former major champion, of course, won the U.S. Open at Marion years ago. That's his lone major, but really didn't expect this with reuniting with the swing coach. The fact that he's had some injuries, he withdrew with back spasms back at Bay Hill when he was actually somewhat in contention. Like, I think he was at the bottom half of the leaderboard for that third round. Then he withdrew, did not play the Players' Championship, as he is trying to make a birdie putt here on 17 to go 4 clear of Hideki Matsuyama and Brian Harman.
Made it. He does. Bottom of the
7
cup.
Under par. So a par at 18 will have a 65 for Justin Rose. Did not expect that score today based on what we saw in the morning conditions.
He's 6 under on the back.
Yes, he has. He's made 3 straight birdies.
6 Actually, under five on the back six. 9. Justin Rose, your leader in the VSiN production crew, has a ticket on Rose at Circus Sports at 129-1.
We're going to have to be hitting those guys up to take us out for a steak dinner.
One problem here, Justin Rose not really known to be a closer. In fact, when Sergio Garcia won his only major, it was at Augusta when Justin Rose handed it to him down the stretch and choked and coughed it up.
That pain will never leave you, will it, Matt?
Well, I had Rose at 25-1. Yeah. That was painful, no doubt about it. There's the ticket. You can see it. Justin Rose, the Masters leader at 7-under at 129-1. All right, quick break. We come back. Hour number 2, Derek Stevenson, Mike Palm from the Circus Sportsbook downtown.